Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, April 2nd, 2014. We're going to get right to the market report today. We do have a very special guest joining us today, Greg Hunter from the USAWatchdog.com. So let's get right to gold. Gold today had a nice strong open in the morning, come back off its high, but still up 990 currently on the New York spot at $1,290.70. Silver's up 19 cents today at $20.05. Platinum up 14 at $1,442, along with palladium up 7 at $789. The USDX today was also trading strong. Everything was green today. The USDX today was up 0.14 at 80.23. I should say everything was green except crude oil today was down another 30 cents at 99.44. But I wouldn't expect to see lower gasoline prices in the near to future. Paper markets today. We have... Let's see, the Dow up 40 points today at 16,573. We have the NASDAQ up 8 at 4276, and the S&P up 5 at 1890. And the 10-year, the yield on the 10-year is 2.80% today. So I need to say good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Good to be here.
Yep, good to be here. Always good to be here.
Always good to be here.
Uh-huh.
That means we're alive, right?
Well, it means we have something to do. We have something to do besides sit on the rock or out on the front step and just watch the traffic go by, you know.
Well, we have a
lot. Still involved and engaged.
We have a lot more to do than that. We're helping folks every day. And today I'm very pleased to introduce Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. They have a slogan, or I guess it's his slogan on his website, analyzing the news to give you a clear picture of what's really going on. Greg has spent nearly 9 years as a network and investigative correspondent and has worked for ABC News, Good Morning America, for almost 6 years, in addition to CNN with Paula Zahn now and other business shows. His website, USAWatchdog.com, is now attracting a tremendous amount of interest and viewers, and I would very much like to welcome Greg Hunter to the program.
Good afternoon. Melody, good to be here.
Good to have you here. Okay, what do we got, Melody? Where are we going to start?
Well, there's two topics that we wanted to talk about today. The first is the Bretton Woods Committee message that asked Congress to promptly enact IMF quota reform legislation. So we're going to be talking about the IMF. And the second topic is Greg's interview with Professor William Black and his comments on systemic corruption in the American major banks and foreign banks. We have talked for many years about how no one ever gets prosecuted for their crimes, how it's done. They pay a little fine, they admit nothing, and they're free to do it again and again. And now they've learned how not to get caught, and it doesn't really matter if you do. But first, let's talk about the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. Greg, what exactly is the IMF quota reform legislation to which they are encouraging Congress to enact promptly?
Well, the IMF holds some gold, and most of which is, you know, donated by the U.S. government. And what you're talking about is reform. And the rest of the world wants a piece of the IMF, which the U.S. controls. I mean, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, is headquartered in Washington, and so it primarily is a U.S. dominated organization. Even though a French woman, Christine Lagarde, is the top of it, but you know what they're talking about is control. And the rest of the world is seeing the dollar being printed like crazy. And now everybody gets free health care. Well, you know, that's what they're told. It's not free. But, you know, the latest thing, I mean, the foreigners must have looked in horror when they settled the budget deal with an unlimited, open-ended debt ceiling, but it suspended the debt ceiling. Now, if you're, a Wall Street guy, you're saying, yay, I can trade stocks and keep, you know, bellying up to the bar. We always talk about this flash crash book, too. This flash trading, which is more corruption, is illegal. It's a new version of a basically front-running trade. But I digress. And the rest of the world wants a piece of the world's reserve currency. The rest of the world wants to print, which they're all printing money. But the difference with the U.S. is the U.S. dollar is what's used in settling one of my declining, but you know, something like 80% of commerce around the world that is declining. And I think they just kicked it into high gear with the whole Russian situation, which some people say it's a grand plan what they're doing in Russia and Ukraine, and I just think it's stupid. I mean, I just look at it for what, you know, the face value of it, and the face value of it is we start this takeover in Ukraine. Victoria Nuland, a deputy State Department official, you know, was leaked out or bragged out at a public meeting that we spent $5 billion in Ukraine. We basically were behind a lot of material for this too. This isn't this is a lot of material. We were behind the ouster. It was a coup in Ukraine. Now, we have a law that says if there's a government taken over by a coup, we cannot give them, you know, military or financial help. That's what happened in Egypt. And this is a coup. This is a banker that got installed by the West, the guy Yatsenyuk, who's there now. It was a coup that happened during the Winter Olympics, which is a real policy, no-no. You have a coup during the Olympics. I mean, everybody's supposed to kind of cool out during the Olympics. Things should settle down during the Olympics around the world because, after all, we're, you know, competing in the spirit of, Olympic Games and unity and whatever. And here we are in the process of the U.S. largely. And it's pretty widely known that we basically were behind this, the ouster of the pro-Russian government. Now, I'm not saying that Russians are lovely and they're great and I'm pro-Russia or anything else, but I mean, we did this during the Olympics, and then Russia takes over Crimea. And
it's kind of blown up in our face.
Yeah, now we want to have sanctions. And I'm thinking, doesn't anybody there in the State Department, in the Obama White House, doesn't anybody, in back channels call up Merkel, call up Hollande, call up Cameron, call up all the big players in the EU and say, hey, if this goes sideways, if this doesn't go well, I mean, you guys are on board with sanctions, right, Germany? Well, Well, we have 6,000 companies doing business in Russia. Well, hey, France, how about you? Well, our unemployment rate is off the charts. It's at a record high, and we have businesses, you know, in Russia. You know, for example, one dairy company has 20 plants in Russia. Mm-hmm. Hey, well, how about you, UK? Well, you know, BP and Shell, we have contracts over in Russia, and we signed a gas deal in 2012. We're just taking delivery of that gas. So we have a leader of the free world, President Obama, and nobody's following him. I mean, this sounds to me stupid.
He's having his own parade, and there are no other floats following behind him.
You are correct. There are no other floats. There are no other floats on the parade. And
he looks a little silly. Got that big hat and the drum major costume, and doesn't work out very well.
Well,
so what's going to happen, though?
Here's the downside. Let me get to the down. And the downside is this. So what this does, so we're back to the IMF and the International Monetary Fund, and you're talking about, you know, the major power in the world, which is controlled by the U.S. Well, they want piece of the action. They don't want the United States in control. There, and thus, this is an attack on the reserve world currency, the reserve currency of the dollar. A lot of people say, oh, it's decades away and all that. I'm not so sure it's decades, especially now. I mean, here you have J.P. Morgan Chase blocking, you know, transfers of money at the Russian embassy, which is tit for tat. But, you know, tit for tat turns into, you know, real stuff. And the Russians, on the other hand, just cut a deal, have been cutting deals with China in yuan. They're cutting deals in India with it, which is, you know, a billion people last I checked or more. And, you know, the people of India say, you know, hey, you mean we don't have to trade in our rupees for dollars to buy oil from Russia? Russia says, nope, you don't. We'll take your rupees. And you'll take our rupees? We'll take your rubles in exchange? Yep, we'll have direct exchanges. Well,
which means the petrodollar is threatened by this. And the big point of this, you've got to be crazy.
They expedited the move away from the dollar globally.
And the important point to my mind is when you attack any country that produces oil and you sanction them and force them away from the dollar, that's what the petrodollar is all about. It's supposed
ding,
to be
ding,
the one
ding,
currency
ding,
you can
ding.
Use to buy crude oil, yada yada.
You know, where was Obama on this European trip? He made sure he went to Saudi Arabia. Why? Well, you know, the reports were, I mean, this is, you know, when things start leaking out into the mainstream media, they want it known. And, you know, would you have the upper echelon of the, I forgot exactly who made the quote, but they said the Obama administration has stabbed them in the back, quote unquote, over the Syria deal, which is about pipelines in part. And, you know, he's down there thinking that now they're going to give what's called a MANTAD, which is the, I guess, the next generation of the Stinger missile. So the Syrians can't drop barrel bombs, you know, bombs in barrels that they drop out of helicopters on these people. So they're trying to, you know, the fear, of course, with all this is Al-Qaeda, which is in part, and some people say up to 50%, the foreign press says up to 50%. Our own Secretary of State John Kerry says 20 or 25%. Well, it's so great that when John McCain, who's the highest-ranking leader to be over there since Kerry in, what, 2009, you know, he was flanked by two Al-Qaeda top commanders in Syria. So what's the fear about giving them these MANTADs, M-A-N-T-A-D, MANTADs, you know, these ground-to-air missiles that can, you know, destroy the advantage that the Syrians have in the air over there. That's the reason why we're not flying sorties, because the Russian fighters are there, Syria's there, and Russia, I'm sure, is telling the U.S., you're not doing the same thing in Libya that you did here. And what's the fear? Well, I guess Al-Qaeda could, you know, start shooting down airliners if we give enough of these things over here. I mean, you know, the Obama administration, which is making Bush look brilliant.
Intelligent, yeah.
I mean, nobody sat there and said all Republicans were liars. I mean, you could say they're corrupt, and you could say that they like war, but nobody sat there, oh, wow, the whole party lied as a party. party with this Obamacare thing. And now, 7 million, you know, people that have signed up, 6.2 million policies were lost. That has to, the Obama administration admitted that was only 5% of the population, 300,000, and 15 million people lost their insurance if you just by the Obama administration. And you talk about signing up 7 million people. Those aren't new people. And how many people didn't sign up? And how many people, which, of course, Catherine Sebelius has no idea. And, you know, I think they lied about that. I don't want to get into the, you know, the whole Fox News rant about lying about the doctors, lying about it's only $2,500 cheaper, lying about you can keep your hospitals. Lie. Why would I believe them about the 7 million? But back to the U.S. dollar and the IMF. And what this meeting is, I think, is to put America on notice that, hey, you cannot continue to print money like crazy and pass it around the world and make us use it and cause inflation for us at home. This becomes an exporting inflation mechanism for the U.S. dollar. After all, we can print money for oil. Nobody else can. They have to get our dollars. Well, it's pretty attractive. The big linchpin is going to be Europe. I mean, if all of a sudden Angela Merkel can buy natural gas and oil with euros, whoa, you mean we don't have to trade out to dollars? Yeah. Well, that's going to be an immediate cut to our energy. That's going to help our GDP. And look at UK. They were the first, when the Obama administration came up and said, we need to have sanctions. The UK was first to say, no, we're going to do that.
Now, the World Reserve currency is a principal foundation for the value of the fiat dollar at this time, isn't it?
Settlement of trade. Everybody has to have dollars. Everybody has to hold dollars, have dollars to buy energy, to settle trade. And the idea was, you know, that it wouldn't be like the, you know, the ruble that would lose 80% of its value probably virtually overnight. You know, the people wouldn't, you know, and I don't know if that would happen now, but there was a time when Russia went, you know, under and the ruble lost a lot of value, or any other currency. And so the dollar was stable. You know, if you paid something in $10, you know, tomorrow that the dollar value of the dollar wouldn't be cut to $3. Mm-hmm. It would be stable. That was the idea. Well, that idea is kind of going by the wayside because the whole world looks and says, hey, you just voted on unlimited printing of money, debt ceiling, and you guys aren't going to get your fine. We had the Erskine Bowles thing. Remember that? They wanted to cut $4 trillion out of the budget. Mm-hmm. They couldn't cut $85 billion out of the budget.
Yeah.
And on top of that, and I think we talked about this before, Alfred, that, you know, and they whine and complain about $85 billion. They're doing, $55 billion now, right? They're doing $55 billion a month in treasuries.
Yeah, I think they're down to $55 billion for quantitative easing.
That's right. And so, half of that is, $25 billion? Well, that's what is it? Almost $300 billion going to the banks? And here's the question I'd ask if I was in Congress, and neither party will ask this. Which banks are getting $300 billion this year? Which banks?
Yeah.
Who's getting that?
And what are they doing with it?
Well, they're insolvent.
You know, I think
what they're doing is they're fighting insolvency, and the insolvency is so huge, and this is what people, I mean, the Bank of International Settlements said that the world debt in 2008 when it blew up was $70 trillion. What's our GDP? $70 trillion. Global domestic product, $70 trillion. What happens when you have 100% GDP or 90%? Bad things happen. Boom, we had a meltdown in 2008. Too much debt. Bank of International Settlements comes out last month. They say, well, you know, the debt's grown 40% in the last since 2008. Wow, we have $100 trillion in global debt, and we still have a $70 trillion GDP. So what's
the problem
in the world?
You can get a bunch of MasterCards.
The problem,
follow what I'm
well,
I'm just
oh, well,
saying,
yeah,
as long as they can get credit. There's
but governments are insolvent now. Now this whole thing has been transferred. Before it was the corporate world was insolvent. Well, the insolvency has moved over to governments. You name a government, and they have tremendous weight of debt. debt in all areas. Meanwhile, people like CNBC have guests on saying flash trading is really good for the little guy. It's really good because the electronic markets have executed these trades and lowered cost. And oh, really? This is a flash trading is nothing more than the old what brokers would do. You'd call up and say, hey, I want to buy 100 shares of XYZ for $10 a share. And he'd say, oh, okay, great. And he'd go out and he'd buy the dollar to the shares, and he'd say, I'm sorry, I can only get them for $10.25. And he'd make a quarter on every share, front running the trades. Well, do this, you know, with a trading that happens in a millisecond, and all of a sudden, this, you know, program trading, you know, front running trades, that's all this is legal. And
well,
in the market
what, we'll
district, the guy wrote Flash Boys, you know,
Lewis. On trades. We'll have to break here, take some commercial announcements, Greg, and we will get back and talk more about front running on trades in the stock market when we return with Greg Hunter in just a moment on Financial Survival.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. I believe Greg is at com or org?
Com.
All right. That's what I thought.
We're com.
USAWatchdog.com. We'll get to Greg in just a moment. Want to remind folks that Melody has a special on Silver Eagles. $2.75 over the spot price, whatever the spot price is, add $2.75 per Silver Eagle. If you order a box of 500, shipping is free. Give Melody a call, 1-800-375-4188. And we left off in the last. Melody, you want to say something?
Yes, I do want to say something. We're going to take calls in the last segment of the program. So the listeners out there, 1-800-596-8191. If you have a question for our guest, 1-800-596-8191. 8191. And I just wanted to ask Greg about the IMF and the reform. If Congress doesn't, Congress doesn't want to do what they're being told to do, to enact this reform legislation.
But listen, the House, I've been told this by a couple of my guests. The House, most members of the House don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I
most
know
members of the Senate absolutely do.
I know, and wait till after the election when we'd be worried.
They absolutely do know what's going on, and we don't want to let go of control, and I don't blame America, but the problem is the reason why the rest of the world is wanting us to let go of control, and if we don't do it, they're going to bypass the dollar anyway. Because
but they'll bypass it sooner rather than later if we don't surrender now.
They're already doing it, and it's kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. Which straw breaks the camel's back? Which little cut? Yeah. This is like the death by a thousand cuts. But at some point, you go, "Oh my gosh, I'm bleeding out. I'm dead." And I want to just get back with this IMF thing. Is that there's all kinds of scenarios that could happen. You know, if the rest of the world thinks, well, the United States is going to go to war over this, we're going to limit their capability of going to war. We're going to gut the dollar now. We're going to throw them into such a tailspin that they won't be able to go to war. At least not in the traditional sense. Then it'll be nuclear, but I don't know. But that's one possibility. The possibility of the dollar being removed as a world reserve currency is 100%. At the very least, they're going to have a major competitor in the yuan. And with all the gold they have, at some point they may just say, "Hey, we're going to have a partial convertibility, or we're going to have convertibility in the petro yuan." And I think that's what the whole point of President going to Saudi Arabia. If Saudi Arabia joins with Russia and China and India and starts selling dollars in any currency and start accepting payment in rubles or yuan or real or rupee or whatever.
Yeah, for their petroleum, for their crude oil. If they start selling their crude oil for anything other than dollars, the dollar is pretty much dead.
$16 trillion held outside the system, and there's a lot of a lot of people ask me that when's going to happen. Well, you know what? I don't know when it's going to happen, and most people don't. Jim Rickards, for example, who wrote his latest book, which is The Death of Money, but he had the best-selling book, Currency Wars. He's truly an expert. People like Dmitry Orlov, a variety of people have said this uniformly. PhDs, so like Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. I'm just going to two things that stick out. Largely, and number one thing is everybody, this has gone on, has said something to the effect this has gone on longer than we thought it would. And the other thing is, when it ends, and I've been saying this for years, when it ends, people are going to be stupefied at the speed of the ending.
Yep.
They're going to absolutely be, what? And I'll tell you why. In my days of working at the networks, I worked for ABC and CNN. I did a lot of financial crimes. I love that because, there wasn't any air of political correctness or, whether abortion is good or bad, which I hate. There wasn't any of this. It was just a numbers thing. I love doing financial crime stories because it was the numbers. How many got hurt? How many people? What was the cost? What was it like the General Motors defect thing or something, whatever, things like that. But what I do know about financial crimes and fraud is they end quickly. Look at Bernie Madoff. I mean, it was great until one day, boom, it wasn't. It's like that scene out of Forrest Gump, and then one day it was over just like that. And that's
are
what
we facing
to
a
fraud.
The problem we face in the currency or in the markets right now, stock markets, commodity markets, is the problem economic in the sense that it's mathematical and a function of someone has stretched the formulas too far, or is it moral in the sense that these institutions are increasingly dominated by immoral, amoral, and criminal types?
It is both. And I'll tell you, when I first went on in 2009 on the air, I wrote one of my first pieces was default option. And basically, I said that, you know, we should take these guys to receivership. We should have taken them to receivership. I figured out it would cost, I don't know, $4.5 or $6 trillion at the time. And, of course, the 10 people who are reading it at the time, you know, were like, oh, gosh, you know, $6 trillion. And that, well, you know, what did Professor Wendell Ray in University of Missouri, Kansas City, put out in late 2011, like December 2011? His estimate was $29 trillion. Well, that's, Jim Rickard says, the entire, what we committed to, what we spent money on, far greater than the $4 trillion on the Fed balance sheet. $60 to $100 trillion. Wow, $6 trillion to cover depositors would have been pretty good. But, you know, shareholders, bondholders, they would have been trashed. And real estate prices, you could have bought a house probably for the cost of a down payment in whatever market you wanted, or less. And, you know, you wouldn't have had all these hedge funds. They would have been gone under. The derivative market would have been solved. And then you would have people, you know, having, you know, Brooksley Bourne at the CFTC wanted to have, she got fired for this, wanted to have derivatives on a public exchange. Oh, no, 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 no. And now we're being told that flash trading by the jerks on CNBC that, oh, that's really good for the public. All this innovation is wonderful for, oh, you can, your trades are cheaper and you know, you can trade faster in a stop. It's front-running, it's crime. It's crime, it's ripping money out of the market and front-running trades, high-tech version of front-running trades. And
we kind of understand that the markets have been corrupt.
Is it immoral? And it's both. The immoral conduct, nobody went to jail, people should have been fine. We wouldn't have any risk tolerance if people, you know, weren't rewarded for massive risk and bankruptcy. And then when they had bankruptcy, they had John Corzine. You know, he's, everything's cool with you know, John. And, you know, at MF Global, it was a primary dealer of treasuries. And, you know, I don't know what you have to do. We've had money laundering for drug cartels, money laundering for terrorists. HSBC admitted it. They admitted and paid a $1.9 billion fine. Admitted it. It's not something that is, you could Google HSBC $1.9 billion fine laundering money and you will find it. You know, Deloitte Consulting, who helped Standard Charter launder money for Iran, the country on the terror watch list. You can't go to jail for laundering money for terrorists, but Ed Snowden is a criminal and you should be thrown in jail? Really? Really?
It's insane.
Really?
Is it, let me ask you this, when we see increasing levels of obvious overt corruption, is that evidence that the system is increasingly powerful, or is it evidence that the system is increasingly desperate?
Well, according to Eric Holder, which is outrageous, in March of 13, I think it was a year ago or 2 years ago. Eric Holder said this, though. He was asked about it in Congress and said, and it was William Black, who was on talking about the frauds, who's a PhD in white-collar crime, a professor of economics, a professor of law, also was former, you know, government regulator, so kind of an expert, kind of an understatement. He said that, you know, Eric Holder, he said he walked that back, but he said that and I'm paraphrasing, this is the exact words, but if they prosecuted the bankers, it would implode the system, which is absolutely outrageous. And
it's
so
just ridiculous. It's like saying if we can't try Al Capone or it'll collapse the whole Chicago economy.
Correct.
You know, it's just nuts. It's crazy. It's insane.
Well, and it comes down to, it's so big, it's biblical big. I mean, it's and I don't want to get off on the Bible, although I am a Christian, I believe in God, but this is a massive fraud and deception perpetrated on the world that everything's okay. No, 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 everything is not okay.
Yep.
Everything is not okay, and they don't want people like me on CBS or NBC or ABC. I had a friend of mine at CBS. I mean, she's a great producer, and I started naming off these, you know, I mean, so-and-so paid a fine to get out of going to Madoff. Why don't you guys do a story at CBS? Oh, they don't have any kind of stomach for that. Why not? Then they're not. Then stop calling yourself CBS Evening News. Call yourself, you know, CBS. I think I lost a friend over this. Call yourself a CBS Information. Don't call yourself
about the
a news
CBS Evening Spin.
Well, don't call yourself a news. I tell you what, they even whitewashed the whole program trader. You know, the Flash Boys, right? That's the big banks that are doing this.
Well, they've got a book out, The Flash Boys, that's come out, and
Michael
virtually
Lewis.
On the same day or close to it, 60 Minutes did a story on rigging the markets on the subject
we're
talking
about. They had this guy on, and they kind of whitewashed the story, because what they didn't do is they didn't pin the blame where it needed to be, and the blame is on the big banks.
I agree with you, but nevertheless, the fact that that's come out on 60 Minutes and the book almost in a coordinated fashion is, does that mean that public sentiment has finally perhaps had enough and we're going to demand that the crooks actually go to jail? Or does it mean that maybe there's an alternative organization out there that is gunning for the crooks?
Well,
somebody out there, is this an accident that 60 Minutes and Flash Boys came out at basically the same time, or is this a beginning of a coordinated attack?
Well, the book comes out, and then they pitch 60 Minutes, and of course it's an audience of 12 million people. So, yes, of course, he's going to say, sure, I'll be on 60 Minutes. That's how that works. It's not like that 60 Minutes was doing a story about, their whole story that 60 Minutes was doing was based around this guy's research on the Flash Boys in his book, period, the end. Okay? Yeah. That's the basis of their story, this interview with Michael Lewis. That's how that works. And what this really, I think, could signal, one of my commenters said that, you know, what they're going to do, I think, is they're going to crash the stock market, and surely they're going to, because it's crashed, you know, went up to 2000, and it crashed, they harvested money, that's what it really is, and then it went up again in 2008, and then they harvested some more money, and then it goes up again now, and they're going to harvest some more money, and how are you making money? I asked that at CNN one time to Jerry Willis, and she just like, Luke. I said, how are you making money? And when the dollar USDX is down, you know, 30%, and you pay 1% every year, and, you know, it's basically below where it was in 2000. How are you making money? Boom, boom. And you're not. If you trade your accounts, you could make money if you can out-trade the flash trading. But this is a giant deception that everything is okay. It's not. About the only thing you can do, I tell people to save themselves. I don't sell gold or silver, but I strongly think everybody should have some of it, and they should have it under their personal control, physical. I don't mean paper gold. That's worthless. So in mining stocks, you better be good at understanding and reading a 10K. You better understand not just reading a 10K. You better understand mining. And most people are they're not sophisticated enough for that. You can't put your money in a bank account. Thank you, Janet Yellen, for helping out Main Street, as she said, Monday. Oh, she's not really worried about Wall Street. Really? Start paying me 5% interest again. Don't have 0% interest if you want to help Main Street. There's $10 trillion on deposit in the banks. Why don't you start paying some interest, Luke? And nobody will say that. Nobody will say to Janet Yellen, why the 0%? If you want to help out Main Street and pensioners and people, because this is, according to Peter Schiff, this is, what, $400 billion a year gift to the bankers that they don't have to pay?
Yeah.
$400 billion
a year. And also a significant gift to the government that doesn't have to pay interest to the same degree on new loans that they may have in the past.
But that doesn't just be – and we're back to the – I guess what I'm outlining is the LIBOR scandal. What is that? $300 trillion, according to, is what it affected. I mean, LIBOR is $800 trillion market, and it affected $300-400 trillion, and there's all kinds of lawsuits with it, and, you know, that they were suppressing rates, and they weren't paying higher, and the 16 banks basically all colluded together. J.P. Morgan was involved in that as well, along with, I don't see how the five people, and I brought this up in my weekly news wrap-up, you know, they'll go after five people with Bernie Madoff. Okay, granted, great, $65 billion fraud. A fraud. One of the regulator, the prosecutor said, "Well, these, you know, Bernie Madoff couldn't have acted alone." I agree, but it took more than five people, six people, and then nine people also pled out. So it was 15 people to do what? The $65 billion. Oh, you mean J.P. Morgan didn't have anything to do? Oh, that's right. It was widely reported they paid a fine and restitution, $2.5 billion, just for the Bernie Madoff thing to escape criminal prosecution. $2.5 billion, widely reported. This isn't what I think. This is what widely reported. To get, I bet you all those guys in the Madoff scam would like to pay a fine and avoid jail. And then also,
I wish there's plenty of other bank robbers and car robbers and everybody else in the country who is a crook would like to be able to buy their way out of the slammer.
Sure.
Drug dealers would like to buy their way out of the slammer, but you're not big enough. You're not big enough to buy your
way out. Well, and J.P. Morgan is being sued by a group of shareholders also. It's another thing that they will not cover. You know, USA Today has, a big banking commitment with J.P. Morgan. They're also shareholders, or they were at last I checked, Goldman Sachs. You try to get a negative story about J.P. Morgan and USA Today. You try to see what they, USA Today talked about flash trading, but they wouldn't bring up the fact that the big banks are doing it. Right? Some kind of on the periphery of, well, you know, the big banks really should. Well, they're the ones behind it, but back to J.P. Morgan, you know, they're being sued by shareholders, and the lawsuit alleges that Jamie Dimon and 12 top executives knew all about the Bernie Madoff fraud and let it go. And this went on for years. If you guys haven't seen it, I'm not trying to plug my site, but, I mean, you want to find out about, you want to make yourself sick about the amount of fraud. I mean, supposedly, according to William Black, who knows all about this, says that, you know, they knew about in 2007 the Bernie Madoff fraud. They knew about it for a long time.
Well, we'll talk about Professor Black's your interview of Professor Black was really spectacular.
Well,
I listened to it earlier today, and it was just intense with information. We've understood the broad strokes, what's been going on, but Professor Black is explaining it, giving us evidence. That was a great interview. We'll talk about that when we return in just a moment to Financial Survival. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom and our guest, Greg Hunter. Excuse me, I'm looking at Professor Black. He's not here today. Greg Hunter's here today, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addiskin. We are Financial Survival. The program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm here with co-host Melody Cederstrom. Our guest is Greg Hunter, and we have two callers on the line. We're going to get to those callers briefly, and then we're going to talk about Greg Hunter's interview with Professor William Black. Just came out in the last couple of days. Really a spectacular interview, and we'll talk to Greg about that in a moment. Yvonne is on the phone. Yvonne, give us what you got. What do you have for Greg Hunter?
Good afternoon, Greg, Melody, and Al. I have a quick question. Since China was mentioned a lot in these discussions over the petrodollar and so on, now China from way back, discussion about using their what they call the nuclear options by dumping their dollars and their bonds on the market, but and totally wiping up, you know, totally destroying the dollar. And then I have a question on Ukraine briefly. But how would that impact, of course, it will impact the economy of the world as well as the U.S. And you know, the Russia and China itself. Would that be a possible counter attack to what the U.S. is trying to do in Ukraine and you know, by sanctioning Russia and so on with you know, with different options?
Okay, let's give Greg a chance to answer.
Well,
what about
just
the nuclear
to let you know, the Chinese, if they dump that, the Fed would have two options. The Federal Reserve would have to either liquefy those bonds, buy them, or because there's going to be nobody else out there buying those bonds, or they would have to default. Now, if they default, it's game, set, match. I mean, we're back to the Stone Age. The other thing is if they liquefy them, and if people see China selling their $1.3 trillion in treasuries, right, well, then the rest of the world, what's held outside the country, and this is the scary part, this is what John Williams, the economist at ShadowStats.com, brings up routinely, there's at least $16 trillion liquid dollar assets, dollars and dollar, you know, treasury bonds, things like that, liquid dollar assets. And right. This is the problem. If people don't need to hold dollar assets, then they all come flying back to America. And what happens when you have a lot of something? It's, you know, depreciates. You know, I mean, the price goes down. And what your right. caller asked, you know, what would happen? It would be a nuclear option because, you know, all of a sudden you wouldn't have any real international payment system. I mean, right now, still today, the SWIFT system is controlled by the U.S. and things are paid in dollars. I think it's something like 80%. But, you know, there would be some real hardship for people around the world. And I think that's why the BRICS country, which are moving away from the dollar system, I think they're moving away from the corruption of the U.S. dollar. And they are going to get away from this debt-based money where you produce bonds to, you know, and the bonds are ever-growing. And we're at a point now, I mean, just at the $17.4 trillion, I mean, that's more than our GDP. We're on the hook for way more than we can ever, when we're ever going to pay off in anything representing the buying power of the dollar today. So your caller, that's just a whole move away from the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency. And, you know, frauds end quickly. How quickly will this end? I don't know, but it'll be like Bernie Madoff, I suspect. It'll be great until one day, just like Forrest Gump, and then one day it was over, just like that. And I think if you have somebody like China dumping their bonds, man, what's India and what's you know, all the other Europe and France and Great Britain? I mean, you wouldn't have a friend in the world. Everybody would be running to the exits. And then what would the Fed have to do? Would they default? Would they just say, you know what, we're done? We can't pay you back. I don't know. I mean, we are in a point where we have never seen this in recorded history. Now, I don't mean to sound like I'm doom and gloom. Jim Rogers, the famed trader, said that. This has never happened. Told me this on USA Watch, so you can go see it for yourself on the site. This has never happened in recorded history. And you think in terms of the Great Depression, two things never happened in America. Number one, our credit rating. Boom. We were AAA gold plated. We could borrow all the money we wanted. We were America. How's that going today? Not so hot. Then the other thing was the value of the dollar. Oh, man, the value of the dollar actually increased because of deflation. Assets were destroyed. If you had dollars, you were cool. They still, you know, revalued gold against the dollar. They could get away with it because they had true deflation. You actually could buy more the year after they did the change out with the $20 gold piece. You could buy more in a year than you could the year before. And, you know, this has never happened. How is this going to go? I don't know, but it will be worse than the Great Depression.
It could be comparable to the Civil War.
Oh, yeah,
if you want
I think
something
be worse
to compare
than that.
It could be comparable.
This is a global phenomenon. This is going to be absolutely off the charts. It's like Bruce Lee. Yeah, you train every part of your body because you don't know what you'll need in a fight. I'm telling you, this is going to be absolutely, I mean, it's going to get down to food and water and ammunition and sustenance, and people are so not prepared. I mean, you know, we have just-in-time supply management, and I'll shut up here because I know there's got somebody else on the phone. You know, well, they don't have stuff in the back, you know. When you take it off the shelf, it's gone, and it's the time value of money, right? We don't want to have stuff in the storehouse. We want to sell it, and then when it comes off, we'll have the computer buy some more. We'll put it on the shelf tomorrow. And well, what happens when that whole payment system crashes? Boom! There's nothing on the shelf, and there certainly isn't anything out in the back.
The whole system is extraordinarily fragile, and whether or not China ever actually intentionally exercises the nuclear option doesn't for a minute
too. Don't get it anyway
by accident.
Yes, we could have it by accident, yes. And even Jim Rickard said that. Every guest has said something nobody's going to know, but when it happens, it'll be fast. I've been saying that for years to my friends. They look at me, what? But keep in mind, and I want people to really grasp, they don't grasp anything else. Grasp this. This has never happened in recorded history. How is it going to go? I don't know, but it's bad, and multiply that by orders of magnitude. And this is the whole trade for gold and silver. I don't sell it. You guys are going to be a sponsor on my page, which took me a long time to get somebody who I think is honest. I've had several people want to buy my How Do I Buy Gold and Silver, which I just wrote because so many people said, I want to buy it. I don't sell it. I don't sell gold and silver, but you should have it. I don't care where you get it. Don't get ripped off. But I think, Melody, you wrote a free report about this, too. And I'm not trying to hawk our deal, but your report was excellent. I mean, there were things I did not know as a layperson. I mean, I wrote the general terms about how to buy and what's an ounce and why you should buy full ounces and not quarter ounces. You went crazy great on the things you need to know before you buy from anybody. That said, everybody should have some gold and some silver. Now, some people shouldn't buy. Some people have got $3,000. No, buy a set of tires for your car. Go buy some groceries. If that's all you got, don't buy that. You know, go out and make sure you have extra food. Go out and make sure your car runs well. Go get a tune-up on your car. Go make sure you buy yourself a couple of a couple of oil changes, you know, for your car. Go out, you know, if you don't have any money, go buy food and water and stuff to take care of your car.
I agree. There's a hierarchy. Why don't we take a call from Earl? He's in Oregon, and he has a question for Greg. What you got, Earl?
Okay. This is about Europe and how Europe plays into this. In 1999, the head of the Euro Bank, who was the head of the Deutsche Bank, said, we intend to make the Euro dollar to become the reserve currency of the world. And Europe is trying to own and manage the whole world, and that's the plan that they've had for before communism came out, because communism is in the tax system to attack Christianity in general and America in particular, because it makes people dependent. And euro dollar becoming the reserve currency of the world, I think that would cause the dollar to drop in value 3-1 to where it is now, or one-third of its value now, and eventually it will become the U.S. peso.
All right, so is it credible, Greg, is it credible that the euro could become reserve currency, world reserve currency?
Well, here's the way, Jim, and this, again, and I want to give you this in the backdrop of this has never happened in human history. So we are literally crawling through a cave in the dark, feeling our way through. I hope that we're not going to run into a foot of a monster, and we are going to run into a foot of a monster. And so, you know, part of what the world wants to do is called strategic drawing rights, and that's basically a basket of currencies. Well, they're all fiat, so I don't know how that works. The other thing that Rickards told me in a recent interview, Jim Rickards, who's an investment banker and wrote The Currency Wars and now his new book, The Death of Money, I'm not here. I don't make anything with his book. I'm just telling you his credentials. And he says, you know, they may not want to do this, but they're going to end up having to have currency partially backed by the dollar. I mean, excuse me, by gold.
Yeah.
They don't want to do it, but they may have to instill confidence, which is why China last in 2013 imported more gold than the world mining output. Now think about that. Now there is a big play going on. And
I've
the play
been saying
is
this-
Go ahead.
I've been saying this for years. The only way they're going to continue with a globalist agenda. They're going to have to stabilize the currencies however they do it. They're going to have a basket of currencies, and that basket of currencies will be backed by gold. It's going to be larger than the index that we have right now.
They'll have other countries. Or backed by, you know, Kansas wheat.
By a percentage.
And fracking.
By a percentage. Perhaps.
Yes. Jim Sinclair says, J.S. Mindset, who's a brilliant guy, says, you know, they won't go from a fiat currency to a fiat currency. They'll want to, but they won't be able to, and nobody will trust it.
Right.
And so
they will learn their lesson when the first one collapses. They will learn their lesson. It's going to be a couple generations before people say, okay, we'll trust another fiat currency. They almost inevitably have to go back to gold.
Well, look what happened with people in all the bank failures in the 30s. There were people that never put their money back into a bank. That's why they had to come up with the FDIC. And the FDIC, I mean, people have everybody has this normalcy bias. And I mean, if you just look at the numbers, and let's just talk U.S. centric, okay? There is about $10 trillion on deposit. That's not all the liabilities. That's just $10 trillion on deposit. And so you have $44 billion in the deposit insurance fund. Now, if Billy Boy's bank goes under, you're fine. You're covered. If Bank of America goes under, you ain't covered. You're not covered. You will not
be
covered. And if they do try to cover you, could you imagine what the dollar's value would be if they tried to print up eight, nine, whatever, how many trillions of dollars it would cost to liquefy that system?
Well, it would mean that the price of homes and the price of cars and land and gold and anything else tangible you can point to would increase, you know, who knows?
Well,
God only knows.
Houses would, because they have a special... Houses would not, because they have a special function in that most people have mortgages. And even if gold does deflate, so let's say gold goes to $700 an ounce. Well, if it does, gas is 25 cents a gallon again.
Yep.
Yeah.
So relative to whatever, I mean, that's an asset that cannot be destroyed. A mortgage can be destroyed. A bond can be destroyed. The reserve currency can be destroyed. A Federal Reserve note, a financial instrument, can be destroyed. Incidentally, Jim Rickards, and I was shocked when he said this. I had to stop him. That was stopped. He said, you know, well, the Federal Reserve is insolvent. Stop, back up. What do you mean the Federal Reserve is insolvent? Well, you know, look at $4 trillion balance sheet. It's way bigger than what they ever said. It's 60 to 100, I'm paraphrasing, 60 to 100 trillion. I mean, what are they going to do next time? They're leveraged 80 to 1, this is at the Federal Reserve. He knows what he's talking about. This is not what he thinks. They're leveraged 80 to 1. What are they going to do? Go to $8 trillion in the balance sheet? Go to 200 to 1 leverage? I mean, come on, it's over. So what happens to all the things that people don't realize, that a Federal Reserve note is a financial instrument. It is a debt instrument, just like a promissory note with your house, which more fraud there. I mean, they made it up to be robo-signing, and what it really was forgery and perjury and fraud on the court. It wasn't a bunch of people in a room signing a, you know, Linda Green real fast, the signature that they, you know, came up over and over again. But anyway, long and short of it is, so what can people, so people listen to this, go, what can I do? You got to protect yourself. You've got to be able, there's going to be no cavalry, there's going to be no government coming out, there's going to be nobody to help you. You're going to have basic food supplies, you're going to have water. I don't know how long, the system won't be Mad Max from here on out, but it could be Mad Max for, you know, 3 months, for 6 months, I mean, I don't know. Because of the fragility of the system, complicated systems, according to Nassim Taleb, who is the guy who coined the term black swan. You know, everybody sees white swans. There are black swans, and once in a while you see one, but you will see a black swan, right? And, you know, he says that complicated systems, and you know the system's complicated, are inherently fragile. They're inherently fragile.
Well, the more efficient a system becomes, the more vulnerable it becomes to just the smallest problem. We become more efficient, the efficiency is taken out of our margin for error. And we celebrate our efficiency, but it creates our vulnerability. And when it goes down, it's going to be a terrible situation. We have 30 seconds, Greg. Give folks some information on where they can find you and your videos and so on.
Which, come to the site. I mean, a lot of people go to the YouTube. That doesn't help me. There's more on the site, USAWatchdog.com. I don't put as much on the YouTube in terms of text and after the interview and, you know, extra information in the site. USAWatchdog.com, USAWatchdog.com, USAWatchdog.com. I sound like Bill O'Reilly, you know, name in town, name in town, name in town. USAWatchdog.com.
All right, Greg, thanks very much. We appreciate having you on
Thank
the program.
You, Greg.
Look forward to talking to you another time. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody
Cedarstrom.
Oh, we didn't get
to your other caller, I'm sorry.
Pardon me?
We didn't get to your other caller, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It didn't work out, but we'll get to Earl another. Yeah, we did. Earl got on there. Earl was there for a while.
Okay,
I haven't had another question, but we'll have to get to that another time, too.
All right, folks, we want to thank all of you for listening. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Greg Hunter. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.